This is Joanna Schrader reporting for AgWire.com. And I am with Eric Peterson, who is the president of Summit Group. Eric, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you've made a really big announcement here at Farm Progress this week, and I want to get into some of the nitty-gritty because there's sort of two sides to what you do. The Summit Group has sort of an agribusiness side, but you also have this biofuel side.
Yeah, it's actually a farming operation in Iowa and Nebraska, and then we have a private equity group that does fund and invest in agriculture.
Now, when you talk about a farming operation, what kind of operation is it, Eric?
We grow corn and beans in north central Iowa and Nebraska, and then we raise cattle and feed pigs as well.
Okay. So you also mentioned you have, I know part of the people involved in the Summit Group work for an ethanol plant or have invested in ethanol plants. And your group is actually investing in a corn ethanol plant in Brazil, in Mato Grosso. So why Brazil?
The reason we're investing in Brazil is because in the central part of Mato Grosso, they have an issue getting corn out because of logistics. And they also have an issue getting ethanol in. And since they're at a 25% blend and they're selling 100% ethanol at the gas station, we're able to produce it locally and sell it to the local gas station at a price that makes a lot of sense for the investors.
Now, is this a big ag community here? And I believe you said it's in central Brazil.
Yes, the town is called Lucas do Rio Verde in central Mato Grosso. It's about 4 hours north of the capital city of Cuiabá. And it's a great value-added town. They have South America's largest feed mill there. They have pork and chicken slaughter facilities there, and some biodiesel as well as Cargill, ADM. A lot of large producers are there as well.
So when we're talking about the ethanol plant, we're talking about what we would consider to be traditional in the United States, and that's that you have co-products involved in the ethanol, one of them is distiller grain. So is that your plan in Brazil to produce distiller grain? And do Brazilians know what they are? Are they receptive to those as a feed?
So one of the things that we're going to be doing that's different than the U.S. technology is separating out a high fiber and a high protein product. Brazilians are very used to using soy meal, and so we're able to use that high protein product and complement soy meal with that. The high fiber product, we're actually going to run feed trials with the University of Nebraska nutritionist to be able to figure out how to best utilize that feedstock.
So how is the local community responding to this? Are they excited to see another value-added technology come in? Are they a little hesitant? We don't know what to think about this.
So a couple of things, actually. We are very receptive in the community because we are another market for the corn that has an issue getting to port. It's a $3 basis from central Mato Grosso to port, which is an issue for these farmers. And so when we can bring value-added production there, it makes a big difference in their pricing. The second thing is we're partnering with a local entrepreneurial individual named Marino Franz, who runs the company Kia Grill, and it's a great agricultural entrepreneur story that makes a lot of sense in central Mato Grosso.
Now, I think there's a lot of misperceptions about farmers in South America in general, and I think a lot of people will think, well, Eric, I mean, how good is their their farming technology? And I know you've spent time there, so is part of your plan with the Summit Group and this project to help them with their technology, or, what's that partnership going to be beyond just the ethanol plant?
Actually, I think there's a great partnership that can be formed between U.S. farmers and Brazilian farmers. When we go visit there, we're impressed by some of their technology and how they adapt to large-scale agriculture, and they are very quickly adapting precision technology that we've had here in the U.S. And there's no better place for people to assimilate U.S. technology than in Brazil. And so I think we can learn a lot from each other.
Now, when you talk about the precision technology here at Farm Progress, that's a big deal here, in terms of where precision is going, and it seems like it gets better every year. How parallel are they, Eric, in terms of their precision technologies? Are we about the same level, and do they have some we don't have yet that you'd like to see here in the States?
From a precision standpoint, the U.S. is ahead, but in terms of managing large acreages, they have had to adapt to large acreages much more quickly than we have. And so in some ways we're ahead and in some ways they're ahead.
So now what's your next step? When will, because their growing season is different than ours, well, I guess it's going to take about 16 months from groundbreaking for the plant.
That's correct.
So at what point will, when does the corn get planted in this process?
So the corn is typically a second crop with the beans. So the corn, after the beans get harvested in December or January in the tail end of the rainy season, they will come in the next day or even the same day and plant the corn and harvest that in May. And so we're looking to get started and break ground before the rainy season starts in order to get this off as quickly as possible.
Okay. And will there be any, Tucana, you mentioned the seed trial at University of Nebraska. Is there any plan to do any of that trial testing in Brazil itself? Or what's your thought there?
We're planning on taking samples from Dave Vandegrin, ICM. He's the technology provider to the plant. He will provide samples to the nutritionist to do the seed trials on, and then we're going to lay the groundwork before the plant opens to make sure that our distillers can be accepted as quickly as possible.
And out of curiosity, Eric, when you talk about this region being a very value-added region, how many ethanol plants do you think it could support, knowing that you're diverting, not diverting, isn't the right word, you're doing the value-added with fuel, you still have corn that goes into the market, you have feed. How many plants do you think could be supported there?
Well, interestingly enough, I believe that corn ethanol in Brazil has a very long runway. Since corn is typically a double crop crop, and there are only 40% of the acres in Mato Grosso that are currently being double cropped. So we think that yields can rise as well as more double cropping can take place. So I defer to Dave Vandegrin. He says that about 50 corn ethanol plants can be supported in Mato Grosso.
Wow, that's great. Well, Eric, this is really exciting news, obviously not only for Brazil, but just for biofuels in general and agriculture in general. And I appreciate you sitting down with me. So why don't we check in a couple months, or let us know when you break ground and keep us apprised of how things are going.
Sounds great. Thank you.